What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
That ball's cracked into left center field, way back there to the wall. It goes and clears the fence. Sparse playing time, but Duvall hits a rocket out of here.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Mike, will Russ start, and is there any more clarity going forward about whether he's in pole position or starting?
Nothing's changed in terms of the positioning of those guys, and yes, he will start.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Scott Service now out of a job in his ninth season as the manager of the Seattle Mariners. He was expected to be fired, and Dan Wilson will be named the interim manager. Wilson has never managed or coached at any level. The former catcher, of course, long time there, and honestly, what dooms Scott Service is this woeful offense. 27th in runs per game. They're dead last in batting average. They're 26th in on-base percentage, 29th in slugging, and last in strikeout percentage.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome in. Happy Friday. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube as we are every single morning. It is the first official Football Friday, and Jason Swigard's back. What's up,
hey,
Swag? How we doing?
I don't know.
You sound delightful.
Swagalicious.
What time did you get in last night? What's the old flight tracker situation?
Flights landed just after 9:30 p.m. local time.
Okay, it's not terrible.
No,
but process from the airport to home.
So then you've got to. Well, we had to navigate the whole new concourse.
Yeah, how's the airport? I heard it's beautiful.
It is gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's a little windy road. It's not like you used to know right where to go and then baggage, but right. Now for baggage claim, they weave you somehow back through that main new terminal where people are checking in, so you're like, okay.
Okay, good, following the signs like you're in a new
city. And everything's oriented differently. That whole thing is now perpendicular to what used to be there.
Huh.
So it's gorgeous, but it's
oriented.
It's
gonna throw you off. Yeah.
So you're like, wait, where's the damn elevators to go down? Like, I know where I'm supposed to go, but...
Yeah, I know the general area, but how the hell
do I
get there?
Then it's pouring when I get... like, okay, the weather gods are punishing me for... You know, spending a week in the islands.
Welcome home.
So
nice little rainy weekend.
Here's that. Yep. Then we had to get the shuttle to the long term parking. We didn't take an Uber. I was like, let's just
park.
There.
It's easier that way. You don't have to
wait. It's there, but the shuttles at that time of night don't come as frequently. So it was there, but they're waiting. Yeah. It was quite busy for a Thursday night at 10 p.m.
It's a little
I'm
weird.
Like, are there? I didn't think Portland had a lot of red eyes. Like,
could it have been Hood to Coast people that
maybe,
were coming in that were getting ready to go run the? I mean, I would assume
possibly,
you'd get here sooner.
But I think you would want to be here, before 10 p.m. on Thursday night if you're heading out at 2 a.m. from the mountain.
A little crowded. Maybe people are just coming to check out the new airport.
So we get all that.
Into Portland. What do we got?
So I got home. I don't know, 10:30, 40-ish, and then I'm just trying. Okay,
yeah,
and then. Wife and son are starving. And it's like, okay, you guys go get food. I cannot eat a full meal.
No.
And so there was something in the fridge that didn't spoil while we were gone.
Snack up on that.
So I just munched on that. It's like, okay, now I'm pulling out, okay, where did I put my toothbrush and some other stuff?
Right, get some clothes out.
It's like, okay, where are the clean clothes so I can just set some? There's a little bench across from my bed. So it's like, just put those there.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm going to bed. Meanwhile, It's still only like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night where I came from.
Hawaii time, yes.
And, you know, the last few nights in Hawaii, I had finally gotten on island time.
It takes a couple of days.
And so then I'm like, all right, let me flip on SportsCenter and see if anything happened that I need to report on in the morning.
Yeah,
so,
we'll write my update tonight. We'll exactly. see the breaking news.
I did get the big local Northwest story that filtered to me.
Well, Scott's service out of a gig.
And we'll figure that out. So yeah, and then, but they're still banging around. It's a small condo. It's
not easy to get to bed right away.
So yeah, so I'm going on a little bit of sleep.
Little adrenaline rush. That's usually the first day back from vacation is always hard because it's...
That's why I figured, let's just go. I got a Hops game tonight.
Yeah, you got to work tonight.
So I missed... they started the homestand. It's a two-week final homestand of the year.
These are the times when you're back for a week, you know, when you're gone for a week, that the buffer day is vitally important if you can schedule it.
Like this is similar, though, to like a pilot's road trip.
Yeah.
And I've done this particular rodeo a couple of times, and I knew I had Monday off as the final in the summer of swag.
That's
well, actually not this year, but that's a different story.
Yeah, we got Labor Day off.
We got Day off. So I knew, and I'm powering through, and Sunday will be an interesting, fun day. If you're going to the Hops game on Sunday, that is my actual birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
And knowing that... And it's like, okay, we're not going to throw a party. I don't want to put my wife in it where we got to, you know, and I'm doing Hops games tonight, tomorrow night. I got the one final golf show of the season tomorrow. It's like, okay, so I bought one of the party suites.
Ooh.
There.
Hops like, party suite from Swag.
Let me do this. The Hops have been great to me over the years. They've caught me a ton of tickets. Let me help my ticket guy out. And it's like, I'm paying for this. I was like, otherwise... You know, so food caters, like, you guys are on your own for booze, but I got food, I got your ticket, I got everything.
Everything's set up.
And so, and then I talked to the guy that runs the game operations. I said, what would be fun is if I can actually announce it with my group from the party suite. We're making that happen.
Hey, well done.
So I'm going to be down amongst my people.
Well done.
Like in the crowd.
Okay.
The party's going on.
Yeah.
My family and friends are going to be there, and I'll be announcing things on Sunday.
That's pretty badass.
Special treat for everybody. So thank the Hops. Thanks to everybody. Should be a great old grand time.
Yeah, it should be awesome.
Killing many birds with one stone.
It's a good way to do it, right?
But more importantly, my entire family made it back.
Which is good. Everybody's here.
That was in serious doubt.
Yeah, what happened? So how was the Hawaii trip? We had an emergency room stop along the way?
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know if you want to go into this now.
Fire away, okay. Fire away.
So we get there on... the previous Thursday.
Yeah, week-long vacation.
Get all settled in. Get the rental car. Make the Costco run. All that sort of stuff. Friday morning is the big fishing trip with my son for his college graduation gift.
I did not see any pictures of fish. Did we not catch anything big?
Well, that's another story.
Okay.
Okay. We did not catch anything big.
Okay, nothing big. Nothing photo-worthy.
So it's a dual thing. So you troll for big sport fish on the way out of Ma'alena Harbor.
Okay.
And so you're going out to Molokini, you're between the islands, so you can see Maui and you can see Lanai and the other one there. And so they got six old lines out there. And so the way it works for sport fish, because it was, I didn't charter the whole boat just for us.
You're not buying the whole boat. Yeah.
I'm a radio producer, not a radio owner.
Yeah.
So there's like 15 fisher people on the boat, big old boat.
Right.
We're going out there. And they said, so everybody gets assigned a number. And they said, if we get something, then we'll call out a number and somebody gets to sit in the seat with the big, ginormous fishing rod.
Ah, okay.
That did not happen. So then you get way out into, you know, open ocean between the islands. And then they bottom fish. So everybody has their own rod and reel.
Makes sense. Okay.
And you go and you try to get something off the bottom. Little fish, but I mean, you can.
Sure.
And so I was just hoping... You know, okay, Paxton.
Give me something. Let's
I'm not
get
a
something.
Fisherman. I don't know what I'm doing here.
He lives in Central Oregon. He should know how to do
exactly.
this stuff.
He loves this. He's caught sturgeon out of Columbia. He knows what he's doing.
He's an outdoorsman, man.
And so he gets a couple of nibbles. And so, you know, then I, you know, I get tangled. Well, there's fish, you know, everywhere. So, and it's kind of windy, but I did. So I finally hooked one. And it was about this big.
About a little 6-incher. Nothing too big.
Like, you got one fish taco.
We got one. Hey, look at this. All right. Now we kept it. Did we keep it?
We did keep it. Okay. I did catch another one called a trigger fish. However, those potentially carry toxins. Ooh. And so we throw those ones back.
Yeah, you toss that one right back.
So I actually caught two fish. Poor Paxton did not catch
one. Didn't catch
anything. I felt so horrible for
him. That's luck of the draw, man.
So,
luck of the draw.
And they clean them for you. There was, and while we were bottom fishing, they stuck one bigger line off the back of the boat.
See if he grabbed something.
See
big.
If they could grab something. Yeah. They did get one. So one guy caught like a big 10-pound gray snapper.
That's pretty cool.
That looked like a fish.
That's pretty badass.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Now, somebody's eating a meal with that. Yeah. Wasn't enough to split up with everybody if you caught a big 60-pound something or other. But.
Sure, sure.
So, yeah.
At least one big
There's
fish
a picture,
was reeled
and
in.
I don't know who to... I think my wife took the picture. She's got it somewhere. And so I have this little Ziploc baggie. It looks like an oversized goldfish. I was like, what the hell are we going to do
with this? How did it taste? Did you already eat it? Did you cook it up?
So what we did was, I mean, there was not a lot of meat
in there.
On those bones. Yeah. So he's like, well, what are we going to do? So we made ceviche.
Okay, there you go. Perfect.
So yeah. So
put to good use.
Did it. My son and I would go back. We make ceviche. And yes, yeah, so a $416 little serving of
gotcha,
ceviche.
Some ceviche. Look
we
at that.
Each had about 10 tortilla chips worth of ceviche.
I love it. So how did somebody almost die? What happened?
So then we came back.
Story time with Uncle Swag.
No kidding. There's if we got a break.
No, we're fine. Keep going. We're fine.
So then we decided, so the wife hadn't been then out in the ocean yet.
Yeah, get her out in the ocean.
So we're like, okay, well, we'll go down and we'll do some little snorkeling. There's a little coral rock jetty just down from the beach from their condos.
Yeah.
We've done it before. We get out there. It's a little breezy. We're like, we've done this before.
We should be able to handle this.
No. It started coming in bad. Waves crashing, pushing, everything. So we three of us were sort of out there. We're like, well, anyway, my wife lost. Somehow she was trying to figure out what was going on. Her snorkel came out.
Uh-oh.
And so she started getting thrashed about.
Yikes.
And she is waif-like now.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking, and I kind of got out ahead, so I'm trying to come back.
Kind of turn around and get back towards the coast, yeah.
Yeah. And so it was actually pretty dicey.
I'd imagine.
Scary, because...
You don't mess with the ocean,
No,
man.
The ocean, and the way the wind was blowing, the waves were coming, that was going into the jetty.
Yeah, not good.
And I'm trying to push her...
The other direction.
Back out into the ocean to try to ride some waves back to the shore. There was one dude out there, thank goodness, who was kind of, you know, a second hand. I'm getting into the rocks.
Pushing her away,
yeah. And she's exhausted, and so she's trying to find a rock to stand on.
Ah.
Well, they're not rocks.
No.
It's live coral with creatures on them.
Yes.
You familiar with sea urchins?
Yeah, you know, you're not standing on that stuff.
We both found sea urchins.
Yikes.
She... On both feet, over 200 little spines. Some of them had gotten to the point where they got all the way in and injected their ink in the instep.
That's no good.
So once we finally got her out of the water, and it was not good there for a little while.
Yeah.
So I'm calling my parents. We're going to urgent care.
Trying to figure it out.
One, and obviously she's dealt with post-concussive stuff, so I don't know if she got tossed and rattled, so we're checking that out.
Yeah, making sure that's okay.
That part's okay, thank goodness. And then they look at her feet. And meanwhile, I saw in my foot, I had one ginormous.
Just sticking in there?
On the in-between, I don't know how it got here. So it's in between my big toe and little toe. So it wasn't on the top, it wasn't on the bottom.
What?
It was in between.
What?
It was ginormous. And so we're in there in this urgent care. And, of course, our insurance doesn't cover it.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, that's another, that's what's going on this one.
Of course, yes.
Reimbursement, see if we can get anything back.
Yes.
So they're plucking, and this is painstaking. So you've got the doctor there with like the welder's helmet on that's got the super magnifying glasses.
Trying to just pull you
one
at them
a time.
Out. Yeah. I'm sure that
so
feels
delightful.
So then
they sewed her feet. So then she came over and looked at mine, and eventually I had to have a shot of lidocaine right into my right big toe because she had to go in with the scalpel. Carve around this thing and then just ever so slightly, you know, millimeter by millimeter, slide this bad boy out.
Oh, it's a delightful little break on your vacation.
And that's, this is the first full day in.
First full day, yeah.
So, yeah. So she has wraps and stuff on both her feet.
We're off to a great start.
Gotta soak them in Epsom salt and other stuff.
No.
I got my right foot wrapped. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to know that everybody's okay.
We did.
How did the rest
of fears?
The rest
went back in the ocean.
Good, you did it again.
So that was good.
On a calmer, not breezy day.
Sunday had a wonderful dinner at the Tommy Bahama restaurant and bar.
There you go.
Celebrating birthdays. Parents are still there. They won't be back till after the birthday.
They're enjoying their time.
Had a great time. We went on a chocolate factory tour.
Hey, look at that. That's a win.
That was very cool.
Okay, we're able to walk the rest of the trip. The feet weren't too messed up.
Yes,
okay, we're able to get back on our feet and get going.
My foot is still uncertain. Because I kicked some rocks at some point, so I might have broken a toe, but
lovely.
At that point.
Yeah, who cares at that point? We're all alive, right? We all made it back. Well done. Hey, story time with Uncle Swag. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're back. The fish story is fantastic, and I for one, want a picture.
I got to find...
I want that picture.
We'll get a
picture.
Tell
the wife she needs to send that picture.
Yeah, I got it somewhere. Everybody was taking different pictures and texting them back and forth,
yeah.
So...
That one needs to go up on the old Twitter profile. That needs to get posted of you with your little 6-inch fish. I'm very excited to see that. Well, it's great to have you back. Sprague, if you can't tell, is out today.
Sprague is at Hood to Coast.
He's running the Hood to Coast, so shout out to everybody.
Do you know when his first leg is?
I have no clue. I know they started at 5 o'clock this morning, an hour ago. So they started an hour ago. I don't know if he had the first leg or not, so I'm not sure which one he's running. But I know that I think it just started. I think some teams were going at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning.
Yeah, I think it starts at like midnight or 1 a.m.
So we've been going for a couple hours now. I did
Although
see
the
some
runners,
vans on the way in.
Now, the runners are probably... so thankful for this weather. They're the only ones.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
As long as it doesn't pour.
Yeah, you get a little bit cooler.
But if you get a little mist,
hell yeah.
Might be a little cool up at Timberline to start out.
I bet it feels great, man.
But today, you know.
You're used to running in all that heat.
Upper 60s.
Oh, God, it's delightful. I love it. It's football. It's a football Friday.
It is a football Friday.
It's football weather. We're going to sit around and watch football tomorrow. So I am excited to be here. It is a football Friday. Swag is back. Sprague's running Hood to Coast. The whole band will be back together basically on Monday. Swag's got another day off on Monday, but then the band will be back next week as the official start of football season. We got a ton to get to on the show today. Ian Furness is going to join us coming up at 7:30. We'll talk to him. Scott Service was fired yesterday because
I did see that.
It was all his fault. He's the reason that
it's my Dodgers' fault. That was the final nail in the coffin.
They got him turfed, man. They got him turfed over the weekend. So we'll talk about that. Actually, I'm going to open with that today because I did chuckle and it reminded me of another team in the way they handled a similar situation. So Ian Furness will join us at 7:30. Brett Ciancia of Pick 6 Previews is going to join us at 8 o'clock. So we'll get a little college football preview with him, kind of wrap up some of the final dirty teams, ask him dirty poll teams. We'll ask him about those. It is week zero, so we'll give you a week zero primer. Would this work in a core four sport, something a league is doing that I find interesting, and I'm wondering, would we ever want to see this in a core four sport? We got a loaded show. It is a football Friday. Thanks for being with us, everybody. We'll start with the scapegoat of Seattle. That is next on The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm heading up to Seattle tomorrow. Excited to check out the M's. Can't watch them on TV this weekend because I don't have Root and my team's in town. And when my team's playing the Mariners, I can't watch the MLB at-bat app. So that'll be lovely. Listen to radio broadcast. But I will be there in person tomorrow. Haven't been to an M's game in a long time.
Debut of one Dan Wilson.
Yeah, I'll see game two because I think the game one will be
game
tonight.
Game one is tonight.
Game one tonight for Dan Wilson because Scott Servais was fired yesterday. And you look over his career in Seattle, he's been the manager there since 2016. And it becomes pretty clear why he was fired. 51% winning percentage. Not quite
54.
Didn't hit the cut. He didn't hit the line. And after 9 years, they say, hey, you're not at 54. We're supposed to be at 54 for a decade. You didn't get us there, Scott. You're going to be the guy that gets turfed. We'll talk to Ian Furness about this at 7:30.
He's a bit of a scapegoat here.
He absolutely is. I genuinely feel bad for Mariner fans. And this is something that some people view this as like me making fun of them or, you know, putting the Mariners down or not liking the Mariners. It has nothing to do with that. I'm just a realistic person. And when people argue in YouTube chats or text lines, the Mariners are great, the Mariners are this, the Mariners are that, I laugh at it because they're not. We all knew who this team was. All year, they were a team that won a lot of fluky games early in the season, one-run games.
Yep.
Then they, off of a season in which they regressed from their playoff year because of their horrible offense, elected to not do anything to improve their offense. And I'm supposed to pretend that this is going to be different, that after not doing anything and bringing Mitch Haniger back in the offseason, now you're going to score 9 runs a game. Like, this team has sucked offensively for a decade.
Certainly
they
didn't
suck
help.
Last year. They suck again this year.
And it certainly didn't help. Whatever the structure is for, hitting instruction, offensive philosophy, when you saw Teoscar Hernandez go to the Dodgers, and not everybody was ready to start the season, too. He
was massive for them. He
has
been all
year. He was carrying that lineup early on in the season.
He's an all-star. He's in the home run derby, man. He's had a hell of a year down there.
And you're like, what happened in Seattle? It's not the ballpark. They moved the fences in a touch from when that park first opened.
They did. He tried to make the argument it's the batter's eye slightly off center, and that throws guys off in Seattle. Maybe that's 3% of it, of why guys can't hit up there. I don't know. I still tend to go back to that's what happens when you play for a lineup that is potent and that you can't just kind of pick your spots of where you want to attack. And that's unfortunately not the case in Seattle. Last year, he didn't have any help really around him. Julio wasn't the same Julio that he was in his first year that he broke through. I know he came on strong in the second half. It's a bad lineup with a bunch of guys hitting below 250, 220, 210, a couple of guys in the 100s in the batting average in the lineup. You're not going to win games. You're not a serious organization if that's what you're trotting out there. I saw this news yesterday. I genuinely felt bad for Scott Servais. This is how incompetent the Mariners are. They didn't even get the chance to call him and sit down with him. He found out through a breaking news alert.
Somebody leaked it before they called him.
On his phone, he had a breaking news sports update alert on his phone saying Scott Servais has been fired. That's how he found out about this. He didn't even get the call. Didn't even sit down with Jerry Dipoto. They were going to meet with him later in the day. So just chalk one up for incompetence again from the Mariners organization for not understanding how to treat people the right way after they've worked for your organization for 10 years. Let's let them find out through a Twitter breaking news alert on his phone. That's just embarrassingly bad. And I honestly had flashbacks as a fan in the Northwest to the way the Blazers handled 2021. Sometimes you get these arguments of what hasn't Jody done as an owner? It's like, well, she didn't have half a brain to realize that Neil O'Shea was the problem and not Terry Stotts. She's been the owner for a long time now, guys. It's not 2.5 years. She's been here for a minute. Anybody with an IQ above 5 who watched the Blazers lose in the Nuggets in that playoff series when Damian Lillard played out of his mind one of the best postseason series we will ever see in the history of this franchise, if not the best. And to look at that and say, you know what the problem is? Problem's coaching. It's not that we have 3 guys in the starting lineup under 6'2". That's not the issue. It's not roster construction. It's not the general manager. This guy's doing a bang-up job, okay? He turned 3 first-round picks into Zach Collins. This guy is hitting home runs left and right. Let's keep him around and let's fire Terry Stotts. And that's not to revisionist history that Stotts didn't have weaknesses or faults as a coach. They all do.
Yes.
But the majority of these sports, football is probably the only one that you would say is the outlier here, but even then, if you have a good enough roster, you can get away with it. 80% of your winning in Major League Baseball and in the NBA is done through roster construction, player acquisition, trades, free agencies, and drafts. How do you build your roster out? Because there's just only so many different messages that a manager can give you or a coach can give you that would actually concretely change things. And we've seen this in the NBA. Steve Kerr is a great NBA coach. He has multiple championships to prove it. What happens when Klay Thompson, Draymond Green are banged up, Steph's on his own, Kevin Durant leaves in free agency? They had the worst record in the NBA.
Yes.
So all of this mainly comes down to roster construction. And I look, Scott Service is not a perfect manager. He has had wonky decisions that you look at and you say, I'm not sure what you're doing there, Scott. But the idea in Seattle that Jerry DePoto still has a job today, that the owner isn't forced to come sit down and answer questions on why I'm not spending money.
Yeah.
This is all my fault because I'm a cheapskate and Root Sports is crumbling and this is why we're not spending more in the offseason. But let's fire them. This is the manager's fault. And look, I'm sure every Mariner fan looks fondly upon Dan Wilson because of his time in the 90s. The guy's never coached a day of baseball, and now he's your manager for the rest of the year. You're 5.5 out of the division. You're 7.5, I think, out of the wild card. I genuinely felt bad for Scott Servais yesterday. Again, not that he's perfect, but
no.
I hate when guys get scapegoated like it's his fault they can't hit.
Yeah, and at what point, you know, somebody somewhere seems to think they can salvage and get back in this. Which is the only reason to make the move now.
Only reason to make the move now. And you're Dan Wilson's going to fix your offense.
You're 5.5 out in the division. You're 7 out, yeah. I think, in the wild card.
Yeah, 5.5 behind Houston and the wild card race, 7.5 behind Kansas City, who owns the last wild card spot. Good luck.
That's an awful lot of faith in Dan Wilson.
You're down to, I think ESPN gives your projection 11% chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
From a 10-game division lead down to 11% chance to make the playoffs. Like that's the other part of it. I'm with you. You think this is going to turn things around? You think this is going to solve things?
Look, I'm very much, once you determine you're not part of the solution, what are you waiting for? But I don't know that Scott Service isn't part of the solution.
I mean, they fired their offensive coordinator. They've changed hitting coaches. At some point, look at who you're acquiring. And, you know, I'm not even going to kill them for what they did at the deadline. The deadline's not the issue. They went out and got Randy Arozarena. Sometimes deadline moves don't work. I've seen my team. I saw my team.
Well, it gave them a burst, but they couldn't sustain it.
Well, for a weekend it did, yeah.
Yeah, and then Julio got hurt again.
Right, and I think Arozarena on the last trip was like 1-for-29 with 22 strikeouts. I've seen my team off the scrap heap pick up Cody Ross on the waiver wire in 2010, thinking, why the hell are we getting this guy? And he went on to be the NLCS MVP. Like, getting guys at the deadline is an absolute crapshoot. What they need to be killed for and should be killed for is what they did in the offseason last year. That was inexcusable. You went to the playoffs 2 years ago. You ended the drought. The big dumper hits the home run. Look at this. Seattle playoff baseball is back. How did we capitalize on it? They did hardly anything the next offseason. Then they regressed, won 88 games with an ass offense, and did nothing again last offseason. We all knew how this movie was going to end if you were a rational person. And it's unfortunate that this is the way it's kind of crumbling late in the season. And I can't wait to see what the vibes are like in the ballpark tomorrow, man. Walking around.
Interesting.
I mean, I know my team sucks. I have no problem acknowledging my team sucks. We're out of the playoffs, but I don't get to see him very often, so I'm excited to get up there. My nephew's never been to a game before.
I appreciate the Mariners showing up on the Dodger schedule right at the perfect
time. Just perfect timing, right? A little boost energy. Maybe he'll do it for my team, too.
Boost.
Although, we're going to have to deal with the fired manager energy now. Do we get the Caleb Canales game tonight?
I think you get the
They score 17 runs.
Yeah.
They just crumble. One last note on Scott Service. Again, we'll talk to Ian Furness about this coming up at 7:30. He is the first manager in Major League Baseball history to have a 10-game lead in the division and then be fired before the end of the season. So things are not going great. Let's get to a couple of NFL nuggies out of yesterday. Anthony Richardson did not look good last night in preseason football. A couple of guys got banged up in camp. We'll take a look around some NFL camps coming up next. Yeah, a couple thoughts here at the Vancouver Ford text line. It was announced Wilson's the permanent manager. He doesn't have the interim tag. I forgot about that, too. Yeah, they just slapped the old full-time label on him. There you go, manager. All right, see what you got, Dan Wilson.
Well, I know he's been...
He's around baseball. The guy knows baseball.
Well, he's also actually been like a roving instructor and other stuff
okay,
for
like spring training
over
and stuff,
the years.
For his minor leagues.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. somebody said, I'm not saying DePoto's innocent, but six of the M's hitters are having their worst season ever. That's not on the GM. I would argue part of that is on the GM, because part of being a GM is evaluating where guys are at in their career. Now, I don't know which players you're speaking of specifically. And again, I'm not saying that Scott Servais is free of any wrongdoing here. My baseball team has had a long run of bad offense. You know, we've had our moments, we've had our players here or there. But when was the last time you looked at the Giants and thought, God, that's a death row lineup you got to get through? You got to go all the way back to when everybody was juicing and you had Bonds and Jeff Kent and Rich Aurelia. It's been a long time, man. So you've had your moments, Posey, some other great guys in the lineup. But I have seen them try a million different things. I've seen them try different hitting coaches. I've seen different managers come and go. And a lot of it isn't fixed, because I think it fundamentally comes down to building a deep, terrifying lineup where there are no holes and weaknesses. Now, that's the dream world that every team would like to do. But I think my follow-up question to that, not knowing which six players you're talking about, is to ask, one, who are the six players, and at what point of their career are they in? Like, if you're using Mitch Haniger as an example, did anybody in their right mind think that Mitch Haniger was going to help you win this year when you got him? Like, some of these guys are
saying
at the back
end. Rodriguez is having his worst season. It's his second season.
Right. I think it's year three. But yeah, point taken. He's young in his career.
And he's been hurt half the year.
Exactly. So, you want to use that one. He's just been banged up. So sometimes you get guys on the market and you just look at it and the thought is he's going to help us win because of the name. But then you realize he's 37 years old. Like, Justin Turner is a fun story. How old is Justin Turner now? Justin Turner's been in the bigs for 35 years, it feels like. So that's your deadline move. And he's had his moments, had a couple of big home runs when he got there first. But I don't know. Scott Servais is not free of any blame or wrongdoing. Part of this is on the manager. And maybe they do get a different message in the clubhouse and that changes their tune. I don't think Dan Wilson's going to come in and wave a wand and all of a sudden you're going to be hitting the baseball again. I think you got fundamental problems on who you're acquiring and why they can't hit in Seattle. It's something you got to figure out. And Jerry DePoto is to me, largely to blame for that. Last night we had our first taste of Thursday Night Football. Now, you were flying, but we had our Amazon premiere of the season. Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit back on the tube.
Ah. And was it scintillating TV?
Can't catch a fever.
Which game did they have?
They had the Colts and Bengals game last night.
Ah.
And I believe they missed a touchdown live because they were in an in-game commercial break. So I think they got to the second half and were just like, whatever, you know, let's run some ads, you know.
Did anybody play?
Who's
we're at week three.
This? No.
And it's a little weird. Yeah. So, just the 3-week preseason is like, all right, when do you want your guys to have a dress rehearsal? There are some teams that just don't care, period,
anymore. Don't play at all. A lot of teams do week one, week two, and then sit guys in week three. The Colts did, like, Anthony Richardson took a considerable amount of snaps. Jonathan Taylor played last night. So they had some of their guys in the lineup. The concern, I think, from the game came from a guy who I have pumped up at times in the past. Anthony Richardson did not look very good. And it even led to the point in the broadcast where Kirk Herbstreit was wondering aloud how long until we get a quarterback controversy between Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco, who is now in Indianapolis, which is not good. And also easy there. He's a second-year guy, and they almost made the playoffs last year with Gardner Minshew. He did have one of those throws kind of late over the middle behind a wide receiver that was returned for a pick six. They still won the game, but the Bengals didn't play literally anybody.
No.
But he threw a horrendous pick six, kind of backed up near his own end zone, and it's one of those that Anthony Richardson is a pop play guy that has a highlight that you think, oh my God, that looks incredible. And then he has one of those throws, and it's like, that's why.
He just still needs reps and timing.
He needs seasoning, man. The guy played three games last year, four games last year.
I'm not going to worry about that. Get it out in the preseason. That's why a guy like that, I think it's
should be
important
playing.
To play in the preseason is because at first you want them to just come back, settle back in, just run the offense, be efficient, don't try to overdo it. But then at some point you're like, all right, we need you now to make a play, to save a drive, or to, you know, that sort of thing. And you're asking him to, probably in the preseason, it's like, okay, we want you to push it here. We want you to force it. Don't worry about the turnovers or whatever.
See what you can get away with.
We need
one.
Then we need to put some stuff on film so we can go back and look. Tell me what you saw. What, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's way overreaction.
Well, and also, I mean, when you, to your point, you've only played four games in your NFL career.
Yeah.
And I believe he was only a one-year starter at Florida on top of that, too.
Exactly.
Like, he had a rough week because they had joint practices with Cincinnati all week, and there were a couple of clips that went viral of the Bengals basically on microphones making fun of him of, like, all this guy can do is run, and this is all he can do. You know, you get those, like, open live mic comments that are just trash talk during an open scrimmage. So those circulated on social media, and then he throws a bad pick six, and everybody starts, you know, reaching these grand conclusions. I have no clue what Anthony Richardson's going to be. I do know that the Colts used a very high draft pick on him, and then you need to see what he can do this year. And I just hope that he stays healthy, because I do think the Colts have a very talented team. I mean, they damn near made the playoffs last year.
Well,
with
the biggest thing is if Jonathan Taylor is completely healthy.
If he's healthy,
can balance the offense and take the pressure off Richardson.
Well, and also the offensive line should be improved. It kind of regressed a couple of years ago from being one of the better. That should be improved. Like I like what they've done in the offseason, and I think he has a lot of potential. But a bad night for him. It's going to happen with young quarterbacks. He's going to have a lot of them in the regular season. Breaking news, it takes a while to figure out what you're doing at the next level when you've only played four games and attempted 84 passes in your NFL career. A couple other quick notes, some contracts handed out. In Kansas City, we now have the highest paid center in the NFL. Creed Humphrey became the highest paid center in the NFL yesterday with an extension. The Falcons also got a deal done. The Falcons are super aggressive. A.J. Terrell signed a four-year, $81 million deal yesterday. That
is
happened.
Arthur Blank sick and nobody's saying anything?
He's just going all in, man.
Like, does he get diagnosed with something and they're like, we gotta win this before he isn't with us anymore?
It kind of seems that way. Like, they went and got Kirk Cousins, and they randomly drafted Michael Penix, which Falcons
fans,
I think, are okay
serious,
with.
By the way,
no.
People, settle down.
But then, I mean, they have added some other big-time names in the off. Matt Judon just got traded there a couple of weeks ago, or last week, whenever that was. So, and then you add these deals on top of it. The Falcons are going all in. If you're a fan, you got to be excited about that.
And
then,
the Eagles just grabbed another receiver. What are the Commies doing?
The Eagles got Dotson for a 2025 fifth-round pick. That happened yesterday. A rare, you know, NFC East trade that happens between teams. You don't see it very often.
The Commies don't have a use for Dotson? Did he do something that I'm not aware of?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I mean, he was a first-round pick 2 years ago.
How can he not be useful for Jalen Daniels?
Yeah, I mean, he had 50 catches, 500 yards, four touchdowns last year. He's only 2 years into his NFL career, and you're giving up on him for a fifth-round pick 2 years into his career? There has to be more to the, because some people view this as another Howie Roseman fleece of, look what Philly does, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then other people viewed it as, why would Washington just give up on a guy? Is there another layer to this story that we're not aware of? Maybe that is Brandon Ayuk, who was back in the news yesterday as potentially getting traded to the Commanders, because that's the story that just won't die.
He's still on the Niners?
He is still on the 49ers.
We can have that segment of me asking you, wait, did this get figured out while I was gone?
No extension, no trade, but yesterday in the news that the Commanders and Niners are talking again, so maybe it's a lead into an appetizer to a Brandon Ayuk trade to Washington, and they wanted to clear a spot.
Clear some salary or something? Who knows?
I don't know, man. Dotson has not been a game changer necessarily his first 2 years into his
NFL career.
Or maybe
they acquired another draft pick to sweeten the pot?
Yeah, the Niners wanted that fifth-round pick from Philly. That was the one that they needed. Maybe. I don't know. I had a hard time making sense of that deal yesterday as well. But there you go. Some NFL nuggies. Anthony Richardson struggled last night. Some contracts handed out and another trade. Random one in the NFC East where Dotson went from Washington to Philly. Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. That is next on The Fan. All right, I've already seen the dumbest take of the morning. We'll get to that.
Wasn't me, was it?
No, it was not you.
Okay, thank you. I still don't.
It's a guy that's employed, like, ESPN's turfing all sorts of people.
Yeah, there's all sorts of discussion.
And there's a guy that I just can't, like, why? Make this one make sense. So we'll get to that, because I just saw that come across my old Twitter timeline. Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. College football is the Wild West. We all know that. There are no rules. There are no regulations. You do whatever the hell you want, basically. Nobody has any control.
No.
This happened. I don't even know where, like, how, what kind of, was this a coach's show? I don't even know how this was recorded. But basically, this came from the head coach of Miami, Ohio. Shout out.
This is usually like a Twitter thing at like a booster.
Like a live Twitter thing or something.
These are those booster alumni, you know, meet and greet. Talk sort of things where they're trying to get them to write the big checks. And I don't think they're supposed to be recorded.
Yeah,
and invariably somebody will.
Who's got a phone? Who's got a phone out? For one, this is undoubtedly happening. My program probably does this to other teams. Every big program does. cheating has happened. It is rampant all over with the periods where you can communicate and contact guys.
Your boy Kirk Ferentz got popped.
He got popped. And by the way, thank you for reminding that. We need to talk about that today because of what he did. Because I made fun of him yesterday, and I want to retract that statement. This came from the head coach of Miami, Ohio, Chuck Martin. And he was it's talking about his kicker who transferred in the offseason to Alabama. Alabama, I guess, was in desperate need of a kicker. Mm-hmm. Kalen DeBoer gave him a call. The kid went from Miami, Ohio to Alabama. You're going to make that move, right? No offense to Miami, Ohio.
That and an extra suitcase to load onto the plane.
Yes, and just don't miss a big kick because then somebody's going to come for your family down there. That's what'll happen. Here is Chuck Martin on Alabama getting his kicker.
All right, special teams, lost your kicker. Carter McLaughlin.
We didn't lose him. He's at Alabama. We know exactly where he's at. You media people, it's all pretend. Like, no, Alabama stole our kicker.
They illegally recruited our kicker
and stole him from us. And like that's a fact. But that's called. But we act like it's not. We live in this la la world. Like, hey, let's not talk. Goodness. I don't know why everybody knows what's going on. So, yeah, Alabama stole our kicker. A couple other schools try to steal it, but then they go, okay, what's the question?
it's kind of like the season preview show.
Yeah, it's one of those, the guys are like, so our checker kicking position is not up. Well, Alabama stole our kicker. What do you want from me?
Mac Media Day or something?
For the smaller programs out there, they are living in a world where it's big fish eat little fish.
Oh, no question.
And it's only going to get worse until there's any sort of guardrails or serious rules that are put into place. Yep. And if that doesn't happen.
And it's only going to come from the federal government.
Yeah, and good luck with that because they're very trustworthy.
They're busy right now.
They got a few things on their hands. there's no solution coming on that road. I hope that more of the smaller school coaches who have to experience, I want this. Call people, this is something that's a deterrent. Like, Kalen DeBoer was asked about this yesterday. He said, we didn't do anything wrong. He went into the portal. We called him. Like, we all know how this works. Yeah. Every big school does this. They need a position. They get wind of a guy. Hey, this guy's pretty good at this school. Send him a text message. See, hey, this is Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. Would you be interested in entering the transfer portal and coming to our school? Yo, you want me to go from Miami, Ohio to Alabama? Of course I will do that. Like, I hope that we get more honesty from the small school coaches, and maybe some of this public calling out will deter some of the cheating and tampering.
The only way to do it is to turn them into the NCAA, and if you start doing that and limiting, if you're looking then to get hired on, you can probably make more as a coordinator for one of those big programs than you can as the head coach in the MAC.
It's happened all over the place.
Do you really want to, be a snitch on somebody who potentially could employ you down the road?
Very true. That is a valid point, and maybe you don't get it. I saw this highlight yesterday, and I was laughing my ass off in my kitchen when I was watching this video. Like, good dude, go
Miami,
Ohio.
That's the only way you can do it. You have to laugh it off. Yeah. It's like,
what are we doing? Why are we living in a la-la land? We know what's happening out here.
We know what's going on. You can make light of it and whatever, but
he stole my kicker, man.
Stole my kicker.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon State's gone through this in the offseason, losing some of their guys to the portal.
College basketball is worse.
College basketball is the wild, wild west. You mentioned Kirk Ferentz. I do want to take a brief moment. So I jokingly made fun of him yesterday. He got suspended for a game for illegally communicating with Cade McNamara, their quarterback.
Yeah, he called him before he officially entered the transfer portal.
The exact same thing. It was tampering, and it was proven. There's evidence to show that he called him before the window opened. Or before he entered the transfer portal.
Now, my thing on Ferentz is probably also because I don't think he's the guy that's in there monitoring when somebody hits the portal or not, and somebody says, hey, call Cade now.
Right, give him a phone call.
So let's be realistic about how this stuff works.
Yeah.
Being around, they're like, hey, don't forget to give Cade a call or whatever.
Oh, okay, sure.
He assumes that's all been checked out, and it's like it's all, yeah.
Yeah, or they had a previous relationship, and he just
something
gave him a call,
like
hey,
that.
How's your offseason going? Anyways, we are in an era, like Jim Harbaugh's doing this right now, every press conference he has. I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal.
Yeah,
I don't
stop
do, like, stop. We all know that you cheated. You blatantly cheated.
I appreciate it, Kirk. It's like,
I did it. He's like, the evidence is there.
I tell my guys, we have rules in place.
Yes.
You're supposed to follow them, blah, 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 blah. And if you screw up, there's consequences. And they went back, and he screwed up. And he said, I didn't pay as close attention. He didn't throw any of his other assistants under the bus, thank goodness, because he easily could have done that.
And they play a nobody in week one. He's suspended for a game against, Illinois State. Like,
there are rules. We do need to follow them.
I broke the rules.
It was probably an honest mistake.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like the cheating kind because he, I would hope, would cheat a little bit more to score touchdowns. But Yeah, it was like a rare moment of good for Kirk Ferentz not fighting this and saying this is fake news and not like we all know that this has happened. You're suspended for a reason, and good for him for just owning up to it.
He also understands it's like, okay, if a kid wants to go there and he ends up there and that's where everybody wants to be, then okay, if you called him a day early, who really cares in the big scheme of things? It's not really that much of a PR whatever.
Their biggest issue is that Cade McNamara's not very good. They cheated for a guy who's not very good, which, you know, if you're going to cheat, go get a quarterback that can score you some touchdowns. How about that? Let's call somebody who can help the offense a little bit and get suspended for that. So there's a couple of college football notes. Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. Chuck Martin, the head coach at Miami, Ohio, calls out Kalen DeBoer. Says, hey, stole our kicker, man. I need a kicker. Somebody give me a kicker. We got a lot to get to in the second hour of the show. Ian Furness coming up at 7:30. Let me see what else I got in the old notes. Oh, this is happening in a league that Swag watches, and I'm curious his reaction to it, and would this work in a core four sport? So we'll get to that. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN went around and talked to anonymous coordinators around college football, their thoughts on quarterbacks that they have to face this year. So I'll let you know the comments on, you know, Dylan Gabriel and all, Will Howard and all these, Aiden Childs at Michigan State. Now we'll go through that and what the teams had to say about them. It is a loaded second hour, a lot of football with a little Ian Furness mixing at 7:30 on 1080 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.